For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Hello, friends. Thanks for listening today to the podcast of Ripley Baptist Temple. I pray that the message today will be a help and a blessing to you and to your family. Now join us as we listen to the Word of God from the pulpit of Ripley Baptist Temple. Take your Bible this morning, if you have your Bible, and let me invite you to open it with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles chapter 29 in the Old Testament. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, I'd like to read from verse 1 through verse 3 in the Old Testament. It might take you a moment to find it, but I love the Chronicles, and they line up very well, of course, with the Kings. And of course, they complement each other. They do not contradict each other. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 1, "Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God." Speaking of the temple. And he said in verse 2, "Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God, the gold for things to be made of gold, the silver for things of silver, and the brass for things of brass, the iron for things of iron, and wood for things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glistering stones." It was going to be a magnificent house. "And of divers colors and all manner of precious stones and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver." It was personal to David. He said, "I have of mine own proper good of my own money I've given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house." I want you to notice in verse 1 where the Bible uses the phrase, "The work is great." The work is great. And then notice in verse 2, he said, "I have prepared with all my might." Our Heavenly Father, I pray as we all prepare to do a great work for you, that, dear Lord, you would help us, I pray, to do a great work and a lasting work. And Lord, as we think of the world and all of that, may it begin in our homes. May it begin with the leadership of men of God. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe today there's an alarming absence in America of godly fathers in 2021. It's an alarming absence. And there's a great need more than ever for leadership in the ranks of every secular place and every sacred place. And really for the Christian, every place is sacred. But especially in the house of God and in the homes of godly people, we need some men who will lead. We need men that will lead for the Lord. We need men that are not dominating dictators, but are loving leaders of their homes. David comes to the end of his life, really, and it was an exciting life. It was an unusual life, blessed of God. It was a life that David had made many mistakes, but yet we remember him as a man after God's own heart. He was a great man. He was a great leader. And of course, he was anointed 3 times before he was allowed to lead the nation of Israel, the combined nation of Israel, the northern tribes and the southern tribes, as they came together after their civil war. And David became known as a man after God's own heart. Had he sinned? Yes, he did. Did he suffer for his sin? Yes, he did. Did God forgive him of his sin? Yes, he did. Did he bear the scars of that sin? Yes, he did. And so will we. But David comes down to the end of his life and he said, "I prepared with all of my heart to build a house for my God." He said, "I prepared to build a temple." If he had done that, we would know it as David's temple. Now we know it as Solomon's temple. And by the way, we're waiting for the third temple to be built over there in Israel. And it's the third temple. And it's a temple that probably when it's erected, you and I that are saved will be up in glory in heaven watching down from up there. And so God's not done with Israel. God's not done with Jerusalem. God's not done with the mount. the Temple Mount, and there's a lot going on there even today. But David comes down to the end of his life, and he said, I prepared with all of my heart. But he said, God would not allow me, God would not allow me to build the temple. But he will allow my son to build the temple. And so he says here in verse 1, the work is great. It was going to be a big work. Big work. By the way, it's still a big work. The Great Commission is a big work. We have a big God to help us. We have big promises. We have a big Bible. We have a big plan of salvation. And I think sometimes we in the work of God, we forget this is big. This is big stuff, as John Reynolds says. Big. It's big. Let's treat it as big. Let's treat it as a great work. The greatest work of all is to be a leader. And we're all leaders to some in some capacity and in whatever sphere of life we are, whatever chapter, slice of life we're in. But no greater place to be a leader than in your own home. David the king said unto all the congregation, my son is young and tender, and the work is great. He said, I prepared with all my heart. He said, I've set my affection to the house of my God. Verse 3. I've of mine own proper good. He said, I opened my own wallet and gave to the house of my God. Over and above all that I've prepared for his holy house. Now let's see a little background here. Over in chapter 28, David assembled all the princes of Israel. And if you have a Scofield Reference Bible, it says it was a solemn assembly. And he gives counsel to Israel and to Solomon and to the people as he prepares to leave. And by the way, I think that's a good thing. I think all of us ought to prepare to leave. We live like we're going to live here forever. We're leaving here. We're either leaving here by rapture or we're leaving here by death. We're leaving here. And so we ought to make it very clear. This is fresh on my mind because I was redoing my will. I cut a few of you out of the will this week. But anyway, you can still get back in good graces. I've still got a shotgun left. But anyway, but we ought to prepare to leave. We're preparing to leave. We ought to make all of that clear. We ought to make all that clear. We ought to have our financial house in order. And, you know, that's another message. We ought to have everything lined up, but there's nothing more important to leave behind than a testimony that you knew Jesus Christ. That is the greatest thing in all the world you and I can leave behind. Leave to our grandchildren, leave to our great-grandchildren a spiritual heritage, to leave to our children a heritage that we prepared. We prepared. The reason they're saved is because we prepared. It's a great work raising children. It's a great work raising families. It's a great work that we are doing. The work is great. We ought to prepare to leave here. Make sure that you're saved. Make sure that you're serving. Make sure that you leave a testimony behind. I know Jesus Christ. Don't come to the cemetery and your loved ones say, well, I'm not sure if Dad was saved. I'm not sure if Mom was saved. Hey, make Dad sure. Make sure that they know which side. Yet let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Make sure that they know that you're saved. Be in an out-and-out Christian today. He gathers the princes, the captains, verse 1, chapter 28, the stewards, the sons, the officers, the mighty men, the valiant men. And look in verse 2, then David the king stood up upon his feet. I don't know however else he'd have stood up, but he stands up upon his feet and said, hear me, my brethren and my people. As for me, I had in mine heart to build a house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God. I love how the Bible puts that. The footstool of our God. A place of rest, a house of rest for the ark of the covenant, and had made ready for the building. But God said unto me, verse 3, chapter 28, thou shalt not build a house for my name because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood. David got up and he was transparent with the whole nation. Oh, would to God we'd have somebody to be transparent with the nation. That's another message today. I've got a lot of other messages. You can tell I've got them. They're out there. We're bringing them in. But he said in verse 5, "And all my sons, for the Lord hath given to me many sons. He hath chosen Solomon, my son, to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. And he said unto me, Solomon, thy son, he shall build my house and my courts. For I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Moreover," he said in verse 7, chapter 28, "I will establish his kingdom forever, if he be constant to do my commandments and my judgments as at this day." And notice he said in verse 9, David said, "Thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father. Serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts. If thou seek him, he'll be found of thee." Look in verse 10. "Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build a house. Be strong and do it." Then David, look in verse 11, gave to Solomon, his son, the pattern of the porch. Look in verse 12, "and the pattern of all that he had by the Spirit." I want you to notice the emphasis on the pattern. He gave him the blueprint. I want to give you three great truths about this passage today. David was a man after God's own heart. David was a warrior. Because he'd been such a warrior, for whatever reason, God said, "I'm not going to allow you to build the temple, this place of great worship. But I am going to allow one of your sons to do that." What a great thing that would be. God may not call your son or your daughter into full-time ministry, but he has called them to be full-time Christians. I mean, they may be a carpenter. They may be an architect. They may be a nurse. They may be a doctor. They may be a teacher. They may not be a preacher, but we need to prepare them to be full-time Christians in a world that's going awry. This great work of building a house for God. I want to give you three thoughts this morning. We'll be through. First of all, I want you to notice that David, the father, encouraged his son. David encouraged Solomon. Look in verse 9. He said, "Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father." Actually, God's speaking here, but I believe that David is speaking. And he says, "and serve him with a perfect heart, with a willing mind." He encouraged Solomon to seek God. He encouraged Solomon to serve God. He encouraged Solomon to seek God. He said, "If you seek him, he'll be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he'll cast thee off forever. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it." As we raise our children, as we raise children for the glory of God, as we train children in our Sunday schools and in our churches, as we bring up children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, as we do that, may God help us to encourage them to do the will of God, to find the will of God and do the will of God. That's the greatest success story in all the world, is to find the will of God and to do the will of God. It's the greatest thing you'll ever know, is to find the will of God. God's not hiding the will of God under a rock somewhere. God wants you to know the will of God. God wants you to find the will of God. God wants you to do that, whatever it is for you, whichever way your children are bent, help them to find the will of God. Make sure they're right with God. But of all things, encourage them. Encourage them to read their Bibles. Encourage them to pray. Encourage them to come to church. Encourage them to be a Sunday school Christian. Encourage them to come Sunday night. Encourage them to come Wednesday night. Encourage them to come to camp. Encourage them to come to youth conference. Encourage them to come to Bible school. Encourage them. He encouraged Solomon to do a great work. God says, "My son, give me thine heart. Give me thine heart. Give me thine heart." And who does God use to help children to give their heart to God? Parents, especially dads. "God has burdened my heart this year." I don't know, just unusually, God's burdened my heart to win men to God. I've got a list, and it keeps getting longer and longer, of men, most of them unsaved men, but I'm claiming them for God. I believe that God wants to save them, and many of them are closer than they've ever been before. But friend, you can be that close to being saved, and if you die, you'll split hell wide open. Oh, we need men that will lead. Every man is not a vocal leader. Every man's not a rah-rah leader. But we need some men that'll be solid men. We need some men that will be spirit-filled men. We need some men that are surrendered men. We need some men that are humble men. We need some men that will show their sons and their daughters how to treat their mother and how you treat other people and how you treat God by respecting Him and making Him a priority and encouraging them in the things of God. We met yesterday over at the Cedar Lake Swimming Pool. And Pastor Grant been over there a lot this week. He wanted to go swimming. Not really, but we met the Boyces over there. It's quite a story. Xavier's story is quite a story. And it's still being written, by the way. Still being written. And Xavier wanted to be baptized, saved as a young man, 23 years old now, in a wheelchair. And but that's not discouraged him. I'm sure it's been discouraging. And I said yesterday, look, if anybody had an excuse or even a reason for not being baptized, he has it. And so God worked it out where the Boyces, they sold their house. It's a long story. They can tell it to you. But they were praying about their house, and they sold their house. It sold more quickly than they thought, and they didn't have anywhere to go. And this house came available at Cedar Lakes, and used to be the camp director's house, and they were able to rent it. I mean, imagine, man, living at Cedar Lakes. And, man, beautiful view there, and everybody comes to visit you every day by the hundreds. You know? And that people, you know, playing frisbee golf right through your front yard, and, you know. But there are a lot more positives than negatives. But they've been thinking about this. They've been talking about this. And Xavier had been praying about it and talking to his parents about it. They thought, well, maybe we can go to Chillicothe to a swimming pool or one of the uncle's swimming pools. And they looked down. There's a swimming pool right. They're looking at it every day. And not only that, but it has a handicapped lift there. Right there in their door. And they said, well, why can't we just do it here? Amen. And so we set it aside yesterday at 11 o'clock and met over there. Some of you were there and some of their family and friends. And man, they were calling for rain. They weren't just calling for rain. They were calling for torrential rain. Pastor Grant was sending me updates, you know. And I mean, it looked bad. Lightning. Start 100%. 11 o'clock, lightning. Thunderstorms. Then it went to 70%. Then it went to 40%. Then I got up early yesterday morning and looked at my weather app, and there was a big gap right there. Partly sunny. Amen. My two grandsons, they're 10 and 7, and they've been with us this week, and they came over with Nana yesterday to the baptism. And they knew we'd been praying about that. And they came, and God just opened it up. Perfect weather, and we were able to get Xavier baptized, to get him back up and greet everybody, and spend some time, and probably 15 minutes after we finished, it started to rain. Amen. You know what? That impressed my grandsons. And that was a great opportunity for Nana and Papaw to say, now this is what God can do. This is what God does. When we pray about things, hey, why is it? Why is it that our children ought to hear the Bible stories of Gideon and David and Jephthah and all the great people of the Bible, and we see no miracles or point out no miracles to them today? There are miracles happening every day. God is answering prayer every day. Oh, friend, listen, we ought to encourage our children in the things of God. Encourage them to pray. I was singing a little song yesterday. Why worry when you can pray? I was singing that to myself. Ephesians chapter 6. The Bible tells us as fathers And ye fathers, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, Ephesians 6:4, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture, in the discipline, and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are masters according to the flesh. But notice in verse 4, fathers, bring them up. Bring them up in the nurture. Bring them up. Train them up. Train them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You say, preacher, I don't know a lot about the Bible. Do your best. You say, I don't know all about child rearing. None of us do. Just do your best. Just do your best. Ask God to guide you. Ask God to use you. Be humble. Be transparent. And tell your children, look, I've never been a dad before. Never been a husband. And just sit down and say, look, I'm going to make mistakes, but I love you. It'll be head mistakes, not heart mistakes. He encouraged Solomon. We're going to do a great work in America these days. We'd better encourage the Solomons to have a perfect heart, to have a willing mind, to seek Him, and to be strong and do it. Be strong. Do it. Do it. Secondly, not only did he encourage Solomon, but he instructed Solomon. Look in verse 11 of chapter 28. It says, then David gave to Solomon his son the pattern of the porch, the pattern of the houses thereof, the pattern of the treasuries thereof, the pattern of the upper chambers thereof, and of the inner parlors thereof, and of the place of the mercy seat, and the pattern of all that he had by the spirit of the courts of the house. He gave him the pattern. He gave his son the blueprint. He said, son, this is how we're going to do it. This is what God gave me. This is what God, these are the specs. This is what God wants us to do. I can't do it. I can't finish it. I got it started. I've helped with the funding. It was my vision. But son, you're going to have to do it. You're going to have to do it. And here's the pattern. Can you see that? We have a pattern. God's given us the pattern. It's the Word of God. God's given us the pattern over in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 6, that great Shema prayer. But in verse 6, he says, and these things which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. Bind them for a sign upon thine hand as frontlets between your eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of the house and of thy gates. He says, every day when you sit down, talk about things of God. Teach them diligently. Talk with them when you sit, when you're driving, when you're going. He said, when you're praying, he says, teach your children diligently. I've heard people say, well, I was on drugs when I was growing up. My parents drug me to church Sunday morning, drug me to church Sunday night, drug me to church Wednesday night. I know what you mean, but thank God if they did. He encouraged his son. He instructed his son. Train up, the Bible says. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. God's given us the pattern. I don't know why people are so confused today about the home. God's given us the pattern. In Genesis chapter 1, we see the pattern. The pattern's very clear. God said in verse 26, he said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air and over the cattle and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. And hear me. Hear me. God, the designer of the home. I don't care what the governor says. I don't care what the Congress says. I don't care what the president says. I don't care what the Supreme Court says. I don't care what comes down the pike as far as new legislation. What did God say? And who are we to be loyal to, since God designed? The home was God's design. The home was God's desire. The home was God's designation. The home was God's idea. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Male and female. Now, if you don't understand that, meet me after the service. I'll explain that to you. Better than that, ask your husband, ask your daughter, ask your wife, ask your parents, male and female, male and female. There is a difference. There's a difference. You say, I don't know what I am, preacher. Look at your birth certificate. Your birth certificate will tell you what you are when you were born. That is what you are. I don't care how many surgeries you have, friend. If you were born male, you're a male. If you were born female, you're a female. You say, I'm a male in a female's body, or I'm a female in a male's body. We can help you with that. Now, I'm not trying to be funny. God can help you with that. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Listen, a male and a male cannot be fruitful and multiply. I never thought I'd have to explain these things in church. A woman and a woman cannot multiply. They can recruit. They cannot reproduce. Because why? It was God's design. It was God's plan. He encouraged his son, and he gave him the pattern. Now, Solomon didn't follow that pattern. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines, and they stole his heart, obviously. But God's given us a pattern that a man and a woman would come together, and he says that they would multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and so on. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. What God does is very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. And I love this. The Bible says that God brought Eve unto the man. God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. Genesis 2:18. This is the pattern. I will make him an helpmeet for him. I know this is redundant to many of you, but we've got to read these verses in our churches again. We've got to read them to our children. Listen, no child, no 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old child is thinking about transgenderism, is thinking about surgery, is thinking about their sexuality, their identity at those ages. Those things are introduced by parents and others. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and the fowl of the air, but for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him. Notice God's concern. God said, I will make a helpmeet for him. Notice the conundrum. There was not found a helpmeet for him. But notice God's comfort in verse 21. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And notice God completed Adam. Woman was the completer. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. God completed him. Cindy Ann Barrett completed me in December of 1977. Your wife completed you. Thank God for them. He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. And he brought her unto the man, and Adam said, now this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. There was a connection. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, male and female, and shall cleave unto his wife, female, and they shall be one flesh in God's eyes. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed in the bonds of marriage. I'm saying God left us a pattern. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, David left his son. He instructed him. He said, son, here's the pattern to build your life by. Here's how it all started. Listen, we cannot trust the world to teach our children about these things. You can't trust the world. You can no longer. I remember years ago people would talk about Disney movies, Walt Disney movies, and how they were clean. They're not anymore. You can't trust the world. You can't trust Nick Jr. You better go in there. You better go in there and watch those cartoons your children are watching. The other day, we saw, and it's available to everybody, and I hate to say it because I don't want to glorify it, but you need to know about it. I have to write it down, Blue's Clues. Blue's Clues on Nick Jr. had a drag queen cartoon character leading children, teaching them a song about two gay dads and two gay mothers, and using language that should not even be used in mixed company among adults. You can't trust the world, friend. You can't trust the educational system of Egypt. You'd better take this on yourself. We're doing a great work. It's a work that we cannot excuse ourselves from. We can't unhook from it. We're obligated. We have a responsibility to our children and our families. Oh, God, give us some men today. It's time we take a month in America and take pride in what God has done. We need to take back the rainbow, friend. God gave us the rainbow. I'm saying this morning, Solomon was instructed by his father. Solomon was encouraged by his father. May I say finally, Solomon was impressed by his father. My dad's here today. My dad's always been a man's man. A man's man. He's always been the strongest man I've known, and he still is. May not be physically that strong, although I don't want to arm wrestle him. But he's always impressed me as my father. I've been impressed with his God. Although I got saved first, I was impressed the first time I walked into him mom's bedroom after they got saved, and Dad was kneeling by his bed praying to his Heavenly Father. I was impressed by that. I'll tell you, it's time, and you know how it is growing up, you know, Dad says, hey, just do a chin up on that right there. Not sure where it went, you know. All of us are impressed with Dad. My dad can whip your dad, you know. We used to always say that. Don't go in their yard. Wasn't usually dads. It was, man, their mom is crazy. Don't go over in that yard. Solomon was impressed with his father. Not just impressed with his leadership, although he was, not just impressed with his position, not just impressed with his money, not just impressed with all of those things, he was impressed with David's God. Notice in verse 20, chapter 28, David said to Solomon his son, be strong and of a good courage, and do it. Do it, son. Whatever the will of God is for your life, do it. Find the will of God, young lady. Do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, and I want you to notice in verse 20, even my God. That is an important statement. Even my God will be with thee. He will not fail thee. He will not forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. But notice, he was impressed. He impressed Solomon because he saw God in his dad. In verse 20, he said, even my God. David could not have said that if he didn't know his God. We can't impress our children with a walk with God that we do not have. Our children are not going to continue to take this from to the next generation, this matter of spirituality and the Lord Jesus and being born again and the pattern of the Bible. They're not going to take it to their children's children if they're not impressed with the God that we have in our home. Make much of Jesus in your home. Make much of God in your life. It was personal with David. Not just a Sunday go to meeting kind of religion. It was Monday through Saturday. He said in verse 3, moreover, because I've set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver, I've given to the house of my God. I've prepared for the house of my God. And he said in verse 5, and who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? What a great question. David finished with a great thanksgiving and prayer before he pulled his feet up under the covers and went to heaven. He said in verse 11, thine, O Lord, is the greatness, chapter 29. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Solomon heard him pray that. Solomon saw that in his life. Solomon was impressed by the God of his father. May our children be impressed with our God. You've heard me say you impact people up close. You impress them from a distance, but you impact them up close. Nobody knows you better than your children. Nobody knows you better than your wife, your husband. Nobody knows us better. We fail, don't we? But God forgives. It's a great work. Encourage your Solomon or your Solomonande girl. Instruct them. Impress them with your God. Yeah, go ahead and do 50 push-ups. While you're doing 50 push-ups, why don't you say 50 Bible verses? Impress them with your God. Amen.